on this Trinity Sunday, the title of our message is, It's Not About You. Note your outline prepared for you in your service folder. Our text and our sermon is based on this single verse from Holy Scripture, Matthew 28:19, which reads Jesus' words, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Again, our title, It's Not About You. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, these are the words that begin our worship each and every Sunday. Have you ever noticed? We never say it this way. We never say, we begin our worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The emphasis is not on us. It's not about you. When I was a professor at the Edmonton Seminary, I taught the young pastoral students that when they led worship, it was not proper to begin worship by facing the people and saying, We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, the proper way to lead worship is to face the altar, addressing our Lord, simply speaking the very words of Holy Scripture as they stand, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, this may seem like no big deal, but indeed it is. By speaking the Trinitarian invocation in this way, we are publicly declaring it's not about us. It's about our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And worship is begun in the same way that our new life in Christ began at our baptisms. How did our new lives begin? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And today is Trinity Sunday, when Christians all over the world are celebrating that our life as a church is not about us and not about our desires or our wants, but our life as God's church is simply about God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and His love for us. When I taught that worship class at the seminary, I taught the young pastoral students two key words tied together with the idea of what we call worship. One is in German. So Mr. Rosenki or Mr. Besche, if you want to help me out with this one, you can. But this word in German, and also one word in Old English. The first word in German is Gottesdienst. That can be translated divine service, or God serving us. This word describes what we call the essence of worship. God is here serving us. He has come to give us His good gifts of His Word, of the sacraments of Holy Communion and baptism, and especially of the forgiveness of sins. He has come to serve us. Worship at its essence is about what God is doing for us. Now, pick up a hymnal in the pew rack, would you, right now? Pick up your hymnal and turn to page 151 in the hymnal. Page 151. Look at the top of that page. What do you find there? What do you read? You read the words, divine service. Now that you've found 151, quickly turn to page 167. Ah, this will keep you awake during the sermon. Turn to page 167. What do you see on the top of that page? Divine service. Here we go again. God serving us. Now, the second word I taught the pastoral students was an Old English word, and that word is worship. No, I didn't misspeak myself. The original Old English word is worship. But we have shortened it to our word worship. Worship really is giving God His worth. Worship. is telling someone or something how worthy they are in our worship, by our words, by our songs, by our hymns, by our prayers. We are telling God how worthy as He is, how worthy of worship He is to us. God gives us His gifts in divine service, and we give Him our worship in response. Worship, then, is our joy and our duty. And let me ask you a question. We would never make Sunday worship more about ourselves and our desires than about God, would we? Yes, we would. And yes, we do. How many times have you left the Sunday morning worship service only to speak words that sound like this? I didn't get anything out of it today. I was bored. It wasn't as exciting as I like. Why can't we sing more hymns that I like? Oh, the pastor's sermon, it was too long for me. Oh, I really don't care for what the choir sings. I wish they'd ask me to sing some songs I like. Or, you know, I'm not really interested in helping out on Sunday mornings. I just want what I want. Here's the problem. Worship isn't just about getting something. Even more, worship is about giving something. Giving to God His worth. When we bring our self-centered attitudes worth us to worship, we make ourselves judges of activities rather than active participants in the adoration of a holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who deserves our adoration. Worship is not about you. It's not about me. It's about our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our privilege is to come here and behold His glory. Give Him the worship due Him, and then be changed as we've come into His presence. Notice on your sermon outline this important text we're going to speak about, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Listen carefully to this text. But we with unveiled faces behold the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. The background of this passage is the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapters 33 and 34, where Moses meets the Lord God on Mount Sinai when God gives him the Ten Commandments. And after being in God's presence, after seeing the glory of God, Moses comes down from the mountain, and here I quote from Exodus 34, Moses did not even know that his face shone. And all the Aaron and the sons of Israel were afraid to come near him. So Moses put a veil over his face. St. Paul goes on to say in this passage, we are not like Moses, I quote, who put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel could not look intently upon the glory which was fading away. Moses was in the presence of God for a short time, and the text says the glory began to fade. But Paul tells us that Christians abide in the presence of God forever, and God's glory for us never fades. Listen to the verse again. With unveiled faces, we are beholding the glory of the Lord. It is a privilege to receive Christ and His gifts in worship that He comes to give us, because in Christ we are beholding the very glory of God week after week after week. In Exodus 33, Moses says, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, please don't lead us from this place. This is a powerful truth. Having God is what it's all about. Seeing God in His glory is the primary goal of worship. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about how we feel or don't feel. Beholding His glory must be our top agenda. Now, we need to be aware of subtle diversions that diminish God in worship rather than exalt Him. We diminish God in worship when we do at least one of these three things. When we seek to attract people rather than to make adoration of God the reason we've come together. Or when we esteem our importance as more valuable than God's presence. Or when we no longer stand in awe of His glory, but judge the service of worship on the basis of my likes or my dislikes. I remember a few years ago when the University of Kentucky basketball team won the United States Collegiate Championship. A few days later, there was a celebration in the Rupp Arena where they play all their home games. The people who gathered there cheered wildly for all the players and their coach. The people painted their faces in the blue and white colors of Kentucky and wore blue and white colors clothing to support and honor their team. Not one fan who gathered there that day who was interviewed said these words, "This gathering did nothing for me. I didn't get anything out of it." The event was wonderful. Not because the performance was great. Nobody played any basketball. Not because the speeches were great. Actually, the players couldn't speak very well at all. But the event was wonderful because the people knew why they came. The purpose of the gathering was not to please the fans. The purpose was to honor the team. In a similar way, authentic worship is our attempt to communicate how much we honor and adore our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? As I ask you that question, why, would you turn your eyes and attention to our Savior at the cross? Authentic worship is our attempt to humbly communicate our thanks for what our precious Savior has done for us. For the forgiveness of sins He has won for sinners like you and me and for the whole world. For what He has done for the world, for God so loved that world at the cross and empty tomb. For His love and His hope and His strength that He gives us every day of our lives. For the gift of eternal life in heaven and the wonder, my friends, that this short life is not all that there is for those who put their faith in Him. And now our purpose is to reflect our Lord's glory. To reflect His glory in all that we do in our Monday through our Saturday lives, as well as Sundays. Moses reflected the glory of God after he met with Him and worshiped on the mountain. We too reflect His glory when we meet with Him in worship. Listen to the text again. But we, with unveiled faces, behold the Lord's glory. This word, behold, actually is a strange Greek word which can be translated either behold or it can be translated reflect. Paul means here that we can both reflect and behold the glory of God at the same time. What does that mean? Paul is using the analogy of a mirror. A mirror can serve for both beholding and reflecting. In worship, we look closely, beholding God's glory, and in the process, we reflect His glory like a mirror. Moses' face shone because in worship he beheld and then reflected God's glory for others. My friends, did you know that we exist? One of the reasons we exist is to be heaven's advertising agency. Think about that. One of the reasons God keeps us alive on this earth is that we might reflect His glory and be God's advertising agency to our world, promoting the glory of Christ, not ourselves. It's not about you and me. It's all about Him. Now, we've just said we're heaven's advertising agency. Let me ask you this pop quiz. How many of you know the following people and organizations I'm going to list for you? Listen carefully. Jack Tinker and Partners. Doyle Dane Bernbach. Foot Cone and Belding. J. Walter Thompson. How'd you do? Like Liz, none of you know anybody on that list. And those people would have no problem with that because they are advertising companies. And their purpose is not to make a name for themselves. Their purpose is to make a name for others and the product that they're promoting to the world. Now, here's a quick list of their slogans and their products, and I'll bet you'll recognize them even though you didn't recognize the advertisers. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. Alka-Seltzer. We try harder. Avis Rent-A-Car. Good. Campbell's Soup. Or Snap, Crackle, Pop, Rice Krispies. Kellogg's Breakfast Cereals. You see, you don't even know the advertisers. Their purpose is to reflect the glory of that product or that name that wants to be made famous for the believer. It's not about us. It's all about our Lord. What these people do for their clients, we do it for our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you. It's about Him. And we are to reflect His glory. Our priority in worship and in life is to reflect Him and also resemble Him. Listen to the text. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We both behold and reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed into His likeness. Notice the progression. First, we behold the glory. Then we reflect the glory. And then we become the glory. The verb transform tells us that God is changing us, forming us, transforming us to look more and more like Jesus every day. That's what the word Christian means, little Christ. And what does Christ Jesus look like? Look here. He looks like love. He looks like mercy. He looks like forgiveness. He looks like holiness. And worship is the primary means that God uses to transform us into the image of Christ. You can't reflect Jesus if first you don't behold Him in worship. And you won't behold Him in worship unless worship becomes the chief priority for you and for your family. This is what Christianity is all about. It's not about us. It's all about Him. Now, as we bring this sermon to a close, if you were wondering, we're coming to a close. We have rounded third, and we're heading toward home. Music leader Matt Redman one day met with his pastor for prayer, their church in Australia. And they agreed that their congregation had become too focused on themselves in worship rather than upon God. And Matt Redman believes that God gave him a song for their congregation. But this song became so popular, it's a world-known hymn, and it was the hymn, the song we sang just before the sermon started today. Listen carefully to just a few of the words. Let me just read them for you. Listen to what I say. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing to just bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. We're going to sing it again in just a moment. It'll be a fitting conclusion to this sermon, whose title is, It's Not About You. It's not about us. It's about you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We sing the song again as it's printed in the insert.